unlike Richard, where every video he releases, he like starts with like a 15-minute rant about Trump. Like I respect that.
Yeah, did you see the last one?
Yeah.
I was just like, Mr. President, I have nothing for this one. I was going to make a joke about his hair, but then I was like, you know, that's not funny.
Like it kind of writes itself.
Where do you work?
Right now I work for a distribution company called Indican Pictures, editing trailers and behind the scenes and such for them.
Where is that at? Culver City?
It's in West Hollywood. It's kind of on the old Warner Brothers lot. Just a small company. I'm trying to think. They did Boondock Saints back in the day. That was one of their films.
They made Boondock Saints or the trailer
they
for Boondock Saints?
It.
Oh, okay.
They are actually, my bosses are good friends with Troy Duffy. And so when he couldn't sell his movie back when he made it, they said, oh, we'll take it and we'll get it into some theaters. And they did.
I don't care what anyone says. I think that was a great movie.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun ride.
People gave it like 24 out of 100 or whatever on like as the critics. I couldn't disagree more. Have you seen this movie?
What, Boondock Saints?
Yeah.
No.
You're honestly missing out. It's a really good action movie.
I've seen like trailers and stuff on it, but I never got around to watching it. I know what it's about. I'll eventually get to it. I mean, I just saw The Shining for the first time last month.
Did you think it was a good movie or?
Yeah, it's a good movie. I mean, it's really well written, acted out. I mean, really well edited too, and the cinematography is just incredible. I liked it a lot.
Is there any particular reason that you held out, or is it just something you never really got around to do?
Just never got around to do. I mean, there's millions of content out there, and I've seen a lot of it, but I hate it when people are like, what? You haven't seen, you know, insert movie number 5,386,000, and I'm just like, no, I have not seen that, because, you know, it's...
Yeah, that's... I hear that all the time. And what's weird is, like, it's the alternate attitude towards that is way more fun, where you're like, oh, you actually haven't seen this? This is really common. You're really going to enjoy this. Let's watch it together. I'm excited to see like your first reaction to it. Like,
yeah,
I don't understand people.
No, it's a pride thing.
Yeah, but imagine priding yourself on having consumed like common content.
That's a common thing to pride themselves on. I mean, I've heard it a lot.
Yeah.
Or people who have a massive collection of DVDs on their wall. And it's like, all right, good job.
Yeah, good job collecting that outdated media format at that point. Yeah.
Good job. Good job, buddy.
Are you guys collectors of physical media, by the way? Because like, I was watching a video by Scott the Woz. I don't know if you guys know who that is.
Nope.
Okay, so one of his things is that he likes to collect video game cases. And I used to do this up until like a few years ago, just because I thought they looked nice on my shelf. But I kind of stopped doing that now that, like, most of my gaming is confined to Steam, so, like, well, part of it is just, like, I don't have a choice, but, I mean, do you guys like to have stuff up on your walls and stuff related to your nerd?
It's funny you bring up this topic, because we're in that transitioning phase, you know? So, yeah. The only games I will buy physically is Nintendo games, because they maintain their value. And if you buy them digitally, it's a little different because it's tied to your account, right? But the funny thing is when a console releases a new platform, they're not going to do this anymore, but like, unless PlayStation is dumb, or Nintendo as well, but like, typically when you release a new platform, it has a new operating system, it has a new everything. So your purchase history, your is gone, you know? But you know, if you have your Steam, like, if you had your Steam account for like the last 15 years, it's all there. You know?
Well, I think with Sony, that's actually not the case, where anything you've purchased from PS3 and forward, I think, is still tied to your account. So they're being smart about that. But I know Nintendo just completely resets it all the time.
No, PlayStation 5, oh, sorry, PS4, you cannot play PS3 games. And
well, you can if they're the PlayStation Now titles. I mean,
yeah,
you can...
but you have to... Wait, do you need the subscription, though, to play it?
I don't know.
Because, like,
I feel like I'm not researched enough to know that.
Yeah, because so you need PS Now to play PS3 games, but you need that subscription. If you own the game, because with Xbox, they turned it into an emulator. You throw in an original Xbox disc or a 360 disc, it'll read the security code clarifying that you own it, and then it downloads the game off their servers, and you're able to play it, you know? And your purchase history is now saved. So they brought a lot of 360 games back because it didn't have backwards compatibility before the update, and it reads your purchase history digitally now, and if you own the game before, you still own it. So that's
super cool for Xbox 360 games. But as for Xbox One games, is there anything you'd actually want to do that for? I mean, other than maybe like Halo 1, which is available on much better platforms at this point.
Well, it depends because
Fusion Frenzy, maybe? Like, I don't know.
Well, Crimson Skies, Fusion Frenzy, Knights of the Old Republic, like it's all there, like all those OG Xbox games. But for Xbox One, I mean, I bought Red Dead Redemption 2 on my 1X because that's the only platform I can play it in 4K. And buying a multi-platform game on PlayStation 4 is a dumb idea because I have a PS4. I only buy exclusives on there. I don't even pay for PS Plus. I just buy their single-player exclusive games. Any multi-platform game I buy on Xbox or PC, and that's it.
I mostly just use Humble Bundle, honestly, at this point. Like, I have the monthly. And I mean, yeah. I just got Metal Gear Solid 5, like the entire thing. And I haven't even like gotten to it because last month's was the entire Game of the Year Hitman from 2016. So I've like barely been able to scratch the surface of that in between like recording episodes of the podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm like never going to run out of good content. Do you guys know what that is, by the way? Like, I'm sure you guys are familiar with Humble Bundle itself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I've done that before on Steam.
Yeah. So the basic concept for listeners, by the way, we're just kind of waiting around until Joe shows up to actually formally start the episode.
Don't tell them that.
Why?
so here's the benefit though of buying your games digitally is that you don't have, if you resell physical, first of all, you'll just get a collection building up and then eventually will be put in the attic. Like all my GameCube, NES, SNES, all those are stuck in the attic now in a box, you know. Mm-hmm. You buy them digitally, first of all, you don't need to put them anywhere, and second of all, you lose money when you resell them, like especially if you try to sell them at like the devil, I mean GameStop.
Digital games you can't resell at all. So it's like, yeah, GameStop sucks ass for that, but it's kind of like that's one of the one remaining benefits of buying physical is that you can still get like a nickel for a game or something as opposed to nothing.
Yeah, but they still have, so they're trying to become better with digital games because you can on a lot of platforms now, you can actually, like on Steam and Xbox, you can actually gift games to people now digitally, or you can if you played it for a certain amount of hours and only had it for a certain amount of times, you can just refund it if you didn't like it.
Yeah, but that's you can only give someone a code if you haven't redeemed it yourself, and you can only, like, the return is just for, like, you just get the money back. Games? How often do I sell a game?
Mm-hmm.
Like probably a couple times a week. I mean,
oh wow.
Really?
No.
Oh, well then, how often do you sell a game?
Well, I don't sell games at all anymore because, like, I'm just talking about the benefits in the abstract. I mean, I don't mean to sound pretentious at all, but I'm a little old to be, like, playing the buying and selling back game because, you know, like, I'm not, like, a 16-year-old with very limited income and those extra dollars don't really help as much. Like, so I'm kind of arguing against myself here.
You save your trip to the store, and you can also pre-download the game before launch. To me, there's more benefits getting them digitally
than physically. Yeah, I would absolutely agree with you there.
Yeah.
The one thing that I do miss, though, is like having that cool like line of games on the shelf. Like that's kind of, I feel like PS4 is going to be my last version of that.
You know, I felt like that was really cool when I was back in college. And I had like my shelf of games, and it was kind of like a status thing of like, oh yeah, I got a ton of games, mm-hmm. and people would want to play the games. But then like getting out of that, and for me, I've had to move like every couple of years. I had to move from one place to another, and then after how long ago was that? Probably about 3 years ago, I moved, and I was like, this is just way too much stuff to be moving around. And so I just got rid of all my physical games at that point, and I like not having shelves of games now. That's where I'm at. I mean, I'd rather log on to Steam and see a nice layout of all my games on there than a shelf collecting dust.
Do they keep like building public schools near you? Like, why do you have to keep moving around?
No, it just one. The last time I had to move for that, the landlord actually sold the house I was renting a room in. So it just, you know, circumstances change. Not public schools though.
Oh, okay.
I purposely don't live near them.
Yeah, that's what I was going for with the joke. I thought you didn't get it at first, but I'm glad you went there eventually.
It took me a bit, but I had to circle back to that.
I don't think Ohan got that one, but that's okay.
Huh? Oh. Now, I would say don't ever buy a digital game for Nintendo, though.
Yeah, you were talking about that. I actually never owned a Nintendo console, so I don't quite have that Nintendo fandom, but can you go into more detail? Like, what is that they do when, like, they switch to a new console? Do they, like, wipe your history, or can you still go on and get your stuff?
So here's a funny thing. So you have the Wii U, and the Switch, right? And they're all essentially considered smart consoles with its own, like, online play, game library, all that stuff. So, like, what you do is if you buy them digitally... Let's say on the Wii U, it had the virtual console and all that stuff, and you've bought all those games digitally. The Switch does not have a virtual console, so any history, purchase history that you have is gone. I mean, it's still there on your account, but you can't access it. Now, if they shut down the Wii U servers and the Switch doesn't have your purchase history, you know, then what?
Right. Okay. So if you have your Wii and they have the Wii servers still accessible, then you can still get your stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you hang on to your Wii, it's, yeah.
Just got to hold on to that Wii real tight and not let it go.
Exactly. So, but dick jokes aside, they kind of have this thing where it's not wiped. It's just kind of, it's tied to...
It's like in limbo.
And then also with with their handheld devices, in some cases, like with the 3DS, it's tied to your one system, not just your account. Like, there are some games, like, I have a 3DS, and I don't regret that decision at all. Like, just for Pokemon and Smash Bros. And the Ace Attorney series, which is one of the best series of all time. I don't know if you guys have played it. Are you guys familiar with that?
I know what it is, yeah.
You guys should probably binge it on an emulator this weekend, because you're missing out on one of the best experiences of all time. But if I were to get a new 3DS, I would be screwed out of those purchases entirely. Like, I don't even think you can transfer them.
Because it's tied to the physical console or handheld device, not to your account.
That's pants on head stupid.
Yeah, that's kind of dumb. Not a fan of that. But that's why I'm a PC guy.
Well, that's why I'm not generally like a huge Nintendo guy. I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. I feel like Nintendo is really, really good at making very high quality installments in it, in their regular franchises, and they're terrible at just about everything else.
They're about 10 years behind on technology. I'm not even like exaggerating here.
No, that's probably true. Like they tried to launch kind of like a PlayStation Now kind of service, and it's like, but you can only play like a certain amount of NES titles or something. And
yeah, it's not worth it.
And to use like voice chat, you have to go through your phone as opposed to like going through the console.
Yeah, I mean, that might be like a safety thing, because it's a lot, because for that might be like a little bit more towards the kids, because like if we're gonna play Smash Bros, we can just use Discord to talk and then just play on the console, which is what I'm gonna do.
Dog, do you think that people like get nicer when they're on the phone though? I mean, like,
no, like they're limited to their friends.
Oh, okay.
Rather than having to like go into in-game chat and get like trolled or, you know, harassed online.
I guess it still seems like something that where there's a better solution for that somewhere that just isn't being used. I don't know. Oh, I do have an idea. I have an idea for a console though that I think Nintendo should make. And I've been meaning for like a way to like a place to pitch it. So I'm going to pitch it to you guys. Okay.
All right. Cause Nintendo's listening right now.
Yeah. Hiroshi Nintendo himself is listening. And, okay, so my idea is a console that is not the current generation at all, but is just the virtual console, where every game they've ever done can be played on it. Like, because do you guys know what the virtual console system for Nintendo is right now? Like,
they had that on the Wii U.
Right, but what if they had, like, one console that was devoted to being able to run everything they've ever done on other platforms.
Like a Nintendo box?
Yeah, like, because that's actually one of the main appeals, I think, that a lot of people want to play on a Nintendo console is because they have, you know, the official emulator on there where you can play a lot of the old titles, but most most of their systems don't have the power because they're way behind in terms of console power to be able to run, like, the generation before it in a lot of cases. And, like, the 3DS Virtual Console, I think, can't even do, like, Game Boy Advance, like, effectively. That's how far it is behind. So what if you had, like, one console developed to, like, the entire backlog of Nintendo, and it would never go out of date? Like, because they just keep releasing new updates for it.
Eventually, the hardware would, or the games would catch up with the hardware.
Well, like, every 5 or 10 years, you'd have to buy, like, a new box for it, but... It would, like, what if it's, like, saved your account on there and you could keep your games, like, forever, like,
well,
Steam?
That's what Xbox is doing with, and hopefully that's what PlayStation's going to do. Because Xbox, like, when the next generation Xbox comes out in 2020, it's still going to have, to my knowledge, it's still going to have the same software and it's still going to have your purchase history and playable games. And you can probably still use the same controller from the Xbox One to the next. This is what's mind-boggling about video games, because we're trying to connect everyone together now, right? We're trying to keep, because once the 360 and PS3 era ended, you know, I had a 360, all my friends just scattered. You know, some went to PC, some went to PS4, some people went to Xbox One, and then it's like, okay, now everyone's just disbanded, you know, at this point. So Nintendo, you know, has no reason to make a new console with a completely new user interface and software to not have your purchase history. It's stupid to do that.
They also don't need to make a new interface every time. Like,
yeah,
they could just, like, if they find something that works. I feel like every video game company tries to redo it every time. And I don't know, like, aside from a couple tweaks to the
twerks.
Shake your butt.
Just to adjust the PS4. If you adjust, like, the PS4 interface, I think there really isn't much else I would change about it. But you know that for the PS5, they're just going to completely try to throw out the book and redo everything. And I kind of wish they wouldn't.
I don't know. It's always, like, a scale, right? If PS4 is going to do something stupid because they're on top, and then they're going to fail, and Xbox is going to rise up, and then they're going to do something stupid when they're on top, and then it's just going to be this back and forth thing, you know? But,
kind of sounds like Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
everything ties to politics.
Wait, which is Xbox the Republican, or is it the Democrat, by the way, in this situation? Like,
it depends, really. Neither. How would either of them be a Democrat or Republican? I mean, I don't think either of them are socialists.
Well, which one's trying to build a wall?
Well, PS4 is trying to build a wall, and Xbox is trying to expand.
That's
kind of
true. They're trying to be like, oh, if you play Fortnite on us, then you can't play it anywhere else, because we just, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. They're the Donald Trump of consoles.
So the PlayStation is the Donald Trump of the console.
Yeah. That's a weird sentence. What were we talking
about?
Glad
I said it.
What was going on? Oh, I think Joe's on, by the way.
We were talking about your Nintendo box.
Yeah, let's hide that from Joe, because I don't want him to hear my ideas and steal them.
Steal it?
Yeah.
So is Joe hooked up to, like, go to Nintendo and pitch that and get it sold?
Yeah, that's the problem. That's why I'm trying you guys out as the co-host instead of Joe.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Sounds like a real powerhouse.
Joe?
Yeah.
I wouldn't describe him as a powerhouse. I'd describe him as kind of like a kissy pie twink, but yeah.
They're never going to do that. Nintendo makes way too much money to, you know, because they instead of making the Switch backwards compatible, they re-released Mario Kart and Donkey Kong and a few other games onto the Switch, and people rebought them instead of, you know, saying F you, Nintendo. This is scummy.
Yeah.
That only matters for people who have a Switch, and that's not thinking, like, it fully through, though. That's a good point, but at the same time, for people who don't have a Switch but might buy the Nintendo box, that's completely irrelevant.
Your idea is stupid, Lars.
Actually, I think I'm playing 4D chess here, and I just don't think you're used to it, Ohan.
you're just 20 steps ahead.
Exactly.
But Nintendo is a business, and they're not going to do anything that's going to, you know, threaten their income, which I have to agree with Ohan on this one. They're never going to make something like that because they have a constant revenue with new repeated game releases, new consoles. They just rake in the money. If they did that, then they would stagnate a little bit.
Maybe. I think you'd have to crunch the numbers on that entirely. And I say this as a business major, that there is income potential there, and the market for it may be completely different in terms of demographic. I'm not sure that there would be any sort of cannibalization at that point. There might be some, but...
But what's Nintendo's demographic? It's average consumers, parents buying for kids, not us, per se.
Well, I think we're included in there, but to much less of an extent than perhaps Microsoft or Sony.
Yeah, exactly. Because they mostly make rated E for everyone games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, those are the best games ever, Ohan, so... You know, don't criticize a game just because it's E-rated.
No, I'm just saying it's for kids. I mean, they do. You can get Doom on Switch.
Yeah, but why would you want to?
Because it's Doom.
I mean, you could just play Doom on any other system, and it'd be like much better.
Yeah, I have it on Xbox, but I kind of wish I got it for PC.
Yeah. Didn't they just release mods for Doom, or is that my imagination?
Oh.
Oh, I thought you'd know, Ohan.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. Everything on PC always gets mods. I mean, Grand Theft Auto is like the mod game. Like, it's... Anything that ends up on PC always ends up getting modded.
That's kind of why I'm holding out for Red Dead on PC, just because...
I couldn't wait.
Yeah, you literally couldn't. I remember seeing that on your Instagram story. Like, I couldn't wait.
I bought it 3 weeks, three to four weeks after a release, though.
That's a decent amount of restraint, I suppose.
Yeah.
That is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, I got it for like $40.
How'd you pull that one off?
I bought it on G2A.
What does that mean? Like, what is that, just like a place that has good deals once in a while? Or?
Yeah, so I guess it's like a place where like people can just sell their codes.
Oh, okay. So like a PS4 download code. Okay.
Yeah, so they had Red Dead on there, they had Xbox Live Gold. I bought, like, Gold for, like, $30. I bought Red Dead for $40, and then I bought Hello Neighbor for $5. And I was like, this is my Black Friday shopping.
Oh, speaking of Red Dead, I hear right now that the economy is kind of weird. Like, one of the headlines I saw this week was that baked beans are more valuable than gold rings at the moment.
It's so bad. I mean, I played that game for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, and I only made like $70. And apparently to start a posse with your friends, I mean, you can play with friends, you know, cooperatively, like up to like two to four players. But if you want like a posse, right, like a guild, basically, it costs like $200. And I'm just like, why would... Anyways, it's really dumb. Like, you can see the pay to win, like, you know, scheme here. Especially because, like, you play Grand Theft Auto single player, like, you earn money up the ass when you play it, when you do heists and stuff, and you can get
it's
whatever
a weird
you
location
want
to deliver the cash.
Yeah. And then when you play Red Dead, same thing. It's like you can do everything, you know, in the single player, but then when you play the multiplayer, everything is just slowed way the hell down.
Yeah, I've heard things about GTA Online. I didn't really get into it because I heard those bad things, and I heard that it's just kind of gotten worse over time. Like, that, first of all, that GTA Online being so successful is why we haven't gotten any interesting expansions to GTA 5, for starters, so that sucks. And then I also hear that you just have to grind in the game, and that's not at all what I feel like Grand Theft Auto is about. I never felt like grinding was why I played it whatsoever. In fact, it's kind of the opposite, where it's like, your income in the single-player game would come in massively random chunks where it's like, oh, I don't have any money, but then, you know, for 37 minutes of work, I'm going to do a heist and get $1 million, and then I might make, like, $20,000, like, a day on some random income from a hotel or whatever. I don't know, like, it's...
Yeah.
It's not GTA. It's, like, the opposite of it, so...
But the thing is, that's their revenue. That's how much money they made. But I mean, GTA was, I mean, Rockstar Games will still have a special place in my heart, especially like you got this game, Red Dead 2, took 7 years to make, $300 million later, and you have this beautiful game with so much content in it in the single player that the microtransactions are pretty much like not, they don't bother me as much because I'm getting so much out of the single player. Like, you know, EA made a game that had no content in it, took a million years to earn one thing, and made it pay to win, and everyone got pissed, right? And when it comes to Rockstar, you're so satisfied with the single player, you don't even care because you got your money's worth either way.
That's kind of where I land on it, although just with huge reservations about it. Like, I guess bad practices for the industry, where it's like you're kind of hiding the shittiness behind the fact that, well, it's still a good game, but I don't know. I don't like where Rockstar's going with that. Because at some point, I feel like there might be a situation in which they realize that they technically don't have to make like a really good single-player experience, and they can just focus on the online game. Or they can make it like so GTA 6 is like always online. I shouldn't even say that out loud because I feel like that someone might hear and get ideas.
So they spent $300 million. I think GTA 5 cost $200 million. This one cost $300 million. So, but the funny thing is they've sold enough copies. They've made about $800 million. They've already, like, essentially went over doubling their money off of sales. Like, there is no reason why they would even change their business motto or the game at all, you know?
From what I can tell, though, Richard has, like, a completely different opinion from us on this. Like, he loves, like, the shark cards and stuff. Why is that, Richard?
You know, I just love it when a big company looks at the consumer and says, you know what, I'm going to take you for a ride. And they just leave it to us. They say, I'm going to watch how long these guys take to see, you know, how long they're getting suckered. And I just enjoy that. It's some good drama.
Yeah, I sent some sarcasm, you know? There. And it's well placed. Oh,
tons of sarcasm.
Oh, no, yeah.
I actually have no opinion about Red Dead 2 because I haven't had a chance to play it, and I am, like you, Lars, I'm waiting for the PC port to come out.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm a member of the Master Race, yeah. And I'm gonna keep being a member of it and experience the game in its full, like, 4K ultra settings glory without,
yeah,
the, you know, the problems of console peasants that, like, Ohan experience.
I have a PC.
Yeah, but you only use it to play, like, Flappy Bird and stuff. I mean, come on, dude.
Flappy Bird is a processor-intensive game.
I don't play
it
Flappy
is. It's
Bird.
Surprisingly so. By the way, have you guys ever played Simulacra?
No.
Oh, okay, never mind. I'm not going to bark up that tree.
It's called Angry Birds, not Flappy Bird.
Flappy Bird is another game.
Yeah, Angry Birds was a different series.
Amazing game.
Flappy Bird has been discontinued for years.
What?
Well, yeah, because
I'm gonna write to the publisher.
No, because the author was like, I think he was Vietnamese or something.
Oh, was that the one who, like, he was like, I'm done.
Yeah,
and he quit.
Yeah,
oh,
no, that's
I
Phil.
That.
That's
okay.
Phil Fish. You're thinking of that's
no, no. This oh. was he was an app guy.
No, yeah,
and
yeah,
he
yeah,
was
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I made so much money
his
overnight.
His name was Dong. Like, I'm not making fun of him. I think his name is like Dong something.
Dude, speaking of Phil Fish,
yeah.
Did you see? I mean, it's Phil Swift, but did you see the JonTron episode?
That's not speaking
like
of
a
Phil
new thing.
Fish. That's entirely different. I don't know. I haven't seen the new JonTron. I'm aware that there is a new JonTron thing, but can you kind of explain what that means?
Do you watch JonTron?
Well, no. I mean, even if I wanted to, he stopped making content.
I mean, it's been a year, and he take note of that. But he actually did a pretty good job with this episode. It's a flex tape dude. Flex tape 2, the flexening, is what he calls it, and it's the greatest video ever made.
Okay.
How long ago did this one come out?
2 days ago, I think.
I hear he has, like, he like, ran his mouth about a bunch of stupid shit, and looks like people stopped caring about him or whatever.
Oh, that's just a bunch of SJWs being mad at him for, you know,
well, no, like, it's like, opinion. It's like in every time I see him mentioned, though, like, they're always like, oh, but he did those things.
No, he's.
I haven't really looked into it.
He's not. He's not a politician. He's not. Political science is not his expertise. He's a gamer. He's a comedian. That's it. Like, you know, like you can't ask him those questions and expect something that, you know, you're going to agree with, especially when it comes to politics. You know, there's always somebody to disagree. So I don't. When people got mad at him, I kind of got mad at everybody who was mad at him because he just kind of got put on the spot. And I
kind of agree with you on one hand. On the other hand, then at that point, he shouldn't be getting into that kind of stuff.
No, because that's kind of what happened with me. Sometimes when I'm publicly speaking, somebody asks me a political question, I tell them, like, I'm not going to answer that because...
That's a good idea.
It's personal, and it's not the top. My profession's gaming, not politics. I have my mm-hmm. political views, and I will discuss it with somebody privately, but when it comes to public opinion, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Unlike Richard, where every video he releases, he like starts with like a 15-minute rant about Trump. Like I respect that.
Yeah, did
that
you
too.
See the last one?
Yeah.
I was just like, Mr. President, I have nothing for this one. I was going to make a joke about his hair, but then I was like, you know, that's not funny.
Like it kind of writes itself. Like you can just say.
And then I just end with the, you know, and your hands are small. And then then I log off. I sign off of the video.
My favorite part about that, by the way, is the fact that, like, if you've ever actually, like, seen the guy's hands, they're not really small, like, objectively. It's the fact that it bothers him so much that people think that they are, like...
Yeah.
It's just like, have you guys seen It's Always Sunny?
Yeah.
Do you know the uncle who had, he thinks he has small hands? Like,
oh, yeah.
It's like a real-life version of that. Like, yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Like, where he just, like, wears gloves to, like, court and stuff, and
the fake rubber hands over his own hands.
And whenever he wants to take a picture with someone, like, he's like, can you put your hands over mine? It's just like a weird insecurity. And they really called that one.
Yeah.
That was weird because, yeah. Ohan, you should watch that show. It's really good.
It's a great show.
I'll put it on my list of infinite shows to watch.
You haven't watched It's Always Sunny?
Yeah, how much of an idiot are you for not consuming that part of pop culture? It's only 13 seasons, dude. You can catch up.
Yeah, that's like a day and a half.
Yeah, just do nothing. Don't sleep.
Nothing.
Don't eat. Don't breathe. Just watch.
Well, you see now. I guess I don't care.
Well, I can
watch. I'm trying to watch Daredevil right now. So,
the third season or the?
Yeah, season three.
I hear the first. Well, I watched the first. I don't know why I said I hear. The first season was really good, and the second season was, all right, I hear bad things about the third.
It's because he, like, has fallen, and he can't get up.
Is that really the plot? Like, he's a senior citizen on that ad?
So...
spoilers, guys. Let's pause for a second. Okay.
It's not really. So it's not a big deal. I mean, so in the entire first season, he's in the black outfit, right? He's not wearing his red suit.
Yeah,
in season two, a great outfit.
In season two, he's wearing his suit almost the whole season. But then he kind of fell off his horse, and now he's like, I'm not putting on the suit anymore. And then he's just in the black suit the whole time, and I'm just like, stop. Put on the Daredevil suit.
No. The Daredevil suit was stupid. The non-Daredevil suit was awesome. It was the only thing that was like remotely believable about the whole. It made it feel way more authentic. You're objectively wrong. Sorry. Just no.
I mean, Daredevil is useless anyway. Is this why he's on a TV show and not a movie?
Are you making fun of him because he's blind?
Yes.
That's kind of rude.
He's a blind acrobat. What do you want? I mean, it was his demographic. Blind people.
Or besided people who want to watch his adventures because he can't. Like, there's potential
there.
Look,
there's
a
reason why. Look, the funny thing is I actually like the Guardians of the Galaxy, but the Guardians of the Galaxy, Daredevil, freaking Jessica Jones and Luke, no one cared about these characters in the comic book world because they're not interesting.
And then they made them interesting.
And they're also
Netflix,
really
though,
weak.
I mean.
Well, yeah, because you can make a drama out of anything and make it good. Never mind. I thought about Teen Titans when I said that.
Wait, I don't know what the joke is there because I haven't seen Teen Titans, but I'm
there's some live
funny.
Action Teen Titans show that they made it super edgy and it's awful. I mean, I thought you watch the trailer and you're just like, this looks like crap.
I enjoy that show. It is the most corny. It's really hokey.
Okay.
But it's like, I think they just leaned into it DC, they know what they're doing. They're like, we're going to make this campy. We're going to try to be as edgy as we can. And they aren't pulling back. They're just like, yeah, this is what we're doing. Deal with it. And I think that's enjoyable. For me as a viewer, I've enjoyed that one immensely. It's been a good ride. Even as corny as it is, it's been fun. So I actually respect DC for making Titans and just embracing that cheesiness of that show.
Damn.
Yeah, and I don't like any of their other films. Like, I don't want to see Aquaman. I hated Justice League. I hated Batman versus Superman. I thought Suicide Squad was a waste of time and effort and everything. But Titans, I'm like, you know what? I'll enjoy this one for now.
By the way, as a trailer guy, Richard, are you pissed off at the Suicide Squad for making such a good trailer and then just like not making an actual good movie out of it?
Yeah, kind of. But I was already a little jaded about DC to begin with, so I took it with a grain of salt.
Is there anyone who isn't jaded by DC movies at this point?
I actually know several people. So I actually unfriended a couple people on Facebook.
Oh, I was trying to be rhetorical, but if you have an answer, that's great. No. Yeah, go for
this
it.
Is
wait, what?
Several people on Facebook that when Batman versus Superman came out, they went online and they said, and I quote, and I remember this because it stuck with me, and I clicked.
Oh, hello, and thanks for joining us for another exciting...
We're already recording, Joe.
Did you guys start?
Yeah, we've been going
for
like...
Yeah, we're just wrapping up right now.
Like,
we're basically done.
What happened? I thought we said 9:40.
No, we said 9. You weren't there.
We just had the best business idea.
We did, and we're not going to share it with you. I'm also going to,
we all put in money.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It involves Nintendo, and I'm going to, like, make it... I'm going to... ban your IP address on Audioboom so you can't listen to the episode. So
okay,
and now we're going to get some strippers.
All right, well, that's something that we
we can just go get them. We don't have to pay for them. They're being provided to us.
Pick them up
by
the drive.
Yeah, by Nintendo at this point.
To get just Jesus, what does that have to do
stock
with
up
anything?
On some
no, he
strippers.
means get in the biblical sense, obviously.
Right. Yeah, like from episode 1 where we were talking about getting.
Yeah, getting to know Aubrey Plaza,
right?
In the biblical sense, yeah. Well, it doesn't matter now because you've been replaced as a co-host, and we'll see you later.
All right,
bye, Joe.
No, but go ahead, Richard.
Oh, it was my story. Let me rewind a little bit since
let's rewind
for
rewind.
Other purposes.
Yeah, throw me in a basement, okay? Shut the lights off and play Nickelback nonstop for hours on end.
What was I talking about? Oh, someone who actually likes the DC movies. As I was saying, I went on Facebook and I remember this so vividly because not only did it surprise me, but it also made me very angry and it hurt my soul a little bit that someone could write this. And I go on there and someone says, I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity to see Batman versus Superman.
Really? They were grateful?
That was, and I was like, why would you be grateful? Like, grateful. I'm grateful that I'm, you know, a somewhat healthy adult guy person. You know, I'm grateful that I was born.
Was this some kid in Bosnia who was, like, grateful for the opportunity to, like, visit America and consume its amazing cinema? Like, or was this just, like, a dude?
This was just a dude that I went to film school with.
Film school?
Lives here in L.A., but he was like, I'm so grateful I got to see Batman versus Superman. And so immediately I was like, unfriend, that's a waste of
that's
time.
That's weird because, like, okay, so, like, thing. I understand it.
Wait, how is that an unfriend worthy, though?
I was very
upset.
No, I
absolutely agree with Richard here. Like, okay, so, but as a film student yourself, Ohan, you should understand the issue here. By the way, Ohan is a film student as well. I guess you guys didn't...
Are we all film students?
What?
No, you said you were a business guy, Lars.
I'm a student of film, just not officially. Okay. I've studied it for critiques on the show, but not like educationally at all.
I'm a film student.
None of those high budget like movies ever have good stories. I mean,
No, but here's the thing. Okay, so if this person was just like a normal guy who was like, well, I just like superhero movies or whatever, and I enjoy the experience. That's fine. I mean, it's not a good movie, like from a filmmaking standpoint at all. But
yeah,
if you just enjoyed it just like as a like, oh, I had fun watching it, that's fine. But if you're a film student and you like that movie, that kind of shows that, and I'm not trying to be pretentious here, I'm being serious, like that kind of shows that you don't know your trade.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
No, I mean, look, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, like, I love Jurassic Park. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom was the biggest heaping pile of garbage ever. Whoever wrote that.
That's different than what he's saying, though. That's not what he's saying.
But see, here's the thing. Well, the funny thing is, I actually thought the movies were fun to watch, and that's about it.
That's different than what he's saying, though. That's not.
But when it comes to these, like, it wasn't that bad. it wasn't that bad.
That's still not the same. No. What he's saying is oh, like this student appreciated the opportunity. Right,
let me just say the statement.
You don't have to preface that. You can just say the statement.
The only thing that ceases to amaze me is that they won't get any of the writers. Like DC makes amazing animated movies. Like, I love their animated movies, except the freaking Titans one. That was dumb. The Judas Contract, or what it was called. But aside from that movie, I've loved, Flashpoint what was that one with Constantine? Anyways, they make good animated movies. I love their animated shows. Batman Beyond's like my favorite.
Oh, I think that was Wreck-It Ralph, right?
Yeah, but Batman Beyond's probably one of my favorites. I started watching like clips from like Static Shock recently, actually, but. It's why don't they get any of the writers or actually even just convert one of those animated movies into a live action movie rather than making these rushed?
Well, because that's
it is not kid friendly, if that's what you're about to say.
No, I was gonna say it's not children's television.
You're talking about
Justice League Dark or Justice League War.
Or Flashpoint.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about... No, I'm saying
like NC-17, wow. Those are rated R.
Oh, that's fine. No, what I was saying is like, if you're saying like, why don't they take the writers from Batman Beyond or something, there could be a challenge in transitioning from kids' entertainment, which is kind of
easier, I didn't
easier,
say that. I said the I ones from these like movies that have been recently coming out, they can make...
Okay.
Yeah, they can make great movies out of these ideas, but they don't. For some reason, they make these.
Ooh, here's a question.
Are we gonna fight?
And this might be controversial.
Is this a fighting question?
That was not the question. No, I'm just kind of curious. And Joe, you're free to enter the ring here.
I just I'm kind of lost. Like I don't know exactly what's going on. Like I'm picking up pieces. You're caught up then. And Ohan, I just want to say you don't have to say. Let me say something. It's like saying exactly. I do declare. You don't
or
have
can
to
ask
declare.
You a question?
You just declare.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's where I'm at in this conversation.
Can I say something? Joe. Can I say something?
Every time you say that from now on, I'm going to mute you, by the way.
Instead of saying, can I say something, just say, I do declare.
I was about to do that.
Or just say, instead of saying, can I say something, can you say, go subscribe to the first podcast on patreon.com/T1podcast. How about that?
I think we should all be silent for a few seconds, and then we should all break the silence at the same time.
Like with a fart? What are you
like
talking
talk
about?
Over
like,
each other? Or?
No, like yeah,
we've been doing that this whole episode.
Exactly. Yeah, let's all be silent at the same time. Get the gaps out of the way. Those nice polite pauses, and then we'll just do the talking at the same time to get that out of the way.
So your idea is to take chaos and make more chaos.
You're trying to control chaos,
which defeats the whole purpose of chaos.
And you're trying to control this episode, which I think kind of got away from you because you weren't here at the beginning.
I'm just doing the best I can with what I have to work with, you know.
So here's the question. Do you think that maybe, potentially, there's something wrong with the DC cinematic universe itself? And maybe... It's not just that they make bad movies, but that the characters aren't really that great.
No,
I think wardrobe and actors do play a huge role. And I mean, the Marvel movies have been pretty much accurate with its wardrobe.
That's kind of not what I meant, though. I meant like, do you think maybe Marvel has just like a better universe of heroes, like a better cast of writers, or
may I declare something here?
Sure.
Please do.
to answer your question directly, Lars, I say no, I don't think it's a problem with the DC universe in itself. Like, you're talking about maybe the DC characters aren't as strong as we may have all thought. Is that kind of what you're getting at?
I'm actually not getting at that as something that I'm positing. I'm just asking.
You're just like
if
putting
no,
it out there being
the
like, maybe, what if? It's like a hypothetical.
Well, I mean, if you notice.
Yeah, as opposed to the argument that like, oh, they've just have.
I mean, if you
teams.
Notice, it was like 12, 13 movies before they made the Avengers movie. They didn't build up to anything. They just released like a movie and then Justice League.
Yeah.
Or two movies or something like that. They just kind of rushed it. Like if they started off with like, you know, a Wonder Woman movie and then making a Superman movie where he, you know, all these origin stories and then making a few movies. They didn't combine the universe together as well as they should have. They rushed it.
Mm-hmm. I think DC probably looked at it and they were like, oh, we're behind by like 10, 15 movies.
They're not.
But I think they probably looked at it and said, oh, Marvel has all these others. We have to catch up. Let's rush this and get to our team as well. But I think in terms of the characters of DC, I mean, they still have some great characters. Some of my favorite villains from comics are DC villains. And
I'm actually excited for the Joker movie.
With Joaquin?
Yeah.
I do think it's hard to top characters like Batman, who they have their cheesy parts, but I think that's just kind of a cool idea. Is just like he doesn't really have any superpowers. He's just like a rich guy who kind of like, he goes around and just he uses his gadgets and stuff. It's like not realistic. It's just kind of it's interesting.
Yeah.
Because a lot of superheroes kind of have that thing where it's like completely unbelievable. So there is something to that, I think. I don't have a fondness in my heart for all the other heroes as much, though. Like, I don't know, like Joe and I actually talked about this on another episode where like characters like Superman, like I get what they're going for, but they kind of make the other ones kind of obsolete. Like, we compared him to The Flash. Do you remember that? Where, like...
Yeah, The Flash can move quickly, but Superman can move, like, a billion times faster.
Yeah, so it's like, he shows up, he's like, well, I can move fast. And then Superman's just like, well, not really. Like, also, yeah, I can do like a lot more stuff.
It's like if The Flash can run around the planet in, like, 6 seconds, Superman can go to, like, the other side of the universe, like, in, like, a trillionth of a second, or, like, something.
Yeah, so he's kind of like a Mary Sue in the. I realize that's an imperfect way to use that term, but I don't know. He feels like he's too powerful. I don't know.
What the Flash can do, though, is vibrate through walls. He can vibrate the molecules through his walls. And what that means is that
he can vibrate his molecules through walls. Yeah.
So if you're playing a game of The Sims 2 and you're trapping them in a room and you're lighting the chairs on fire,
Superman is screwed, but. But
Superman
the Flash
is screwed,
survive.
But the Flash may survive if he can vibrate.
But Superman can just break down the door or through the wall.
Not in the Sims.
Well, the Sims not universe the Sims. Doesn't make any sense.
It's not supposed to.
It's just supposed to be fun.
Yeah, but you know,
it's just the way it.
You know. You know Superman's weaknesses, right?
Martha.
Pretty girls. We just all gave a terrible answer to that. Go ahead.
Do you guys know his weakness? Says
yes.
No.
Kryptonite 2? The electric boogaloo?
Talking to women?
It's kryptonite and magic. Like, Constantine can kick his ass.
But he's super magic. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
No, he's not magic.
Yes, he is, dude. Have you seen his powers?
That's just science.
That's a rejection of everything science has to offer, by him breaking the laws of physics.
We don't know that.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, but you can toss Superman in another dimension. He'll be trapped forever.
You can toss Superman in one direction, he'll go forever.
No.
Are you talking about the band?
No, I'm saying Zatanna and Constantine are really powerful. Like they can probably kick his butt.
Yeah, they can trap him in other places or
maybe probably not. That's probably not true.
I mean, you can just teleport him back to where Krypton blew up and then like he'll be like powerless and die because Red Sun / Kryptonite.
All of these characters, by the way, would lose to Ninetales. Like what's the point?
Of living?
Well, that's a whole other conversation.
Like, I'm saying like, yeah, all of these characters would lose to Ninetales, the Pokemon. And I think Joe will back
Ninetales
me up on this.
Ninetales is weak. I was just playing Pokemon Go today.
No,
my Ninetales
no,
got fainted.
Well, oh,
my Ninetales.
No, big foul.
Well.
Very wrong. Just wrong squared. Wrong in a pot.
Well, here's why you're wrong, Ohan. Here's why you're wrong.
Game Master, wrong.
Ninetales Ninetales can change your mind about anything. In fact, it can control your mind. If you touch its tail, you'll get a curse. And
for a thousand years.
Mewtwo is more powerful.
For a thousand.
And Ninetales can control Mewtwo directly.
Right. Mewtwo can control Ninetales.
Mewtwo is psychic, but I don't think his powers include direct mind control. I think he can only make them move their body. Oh.
Boom.
Actually, that reminds me of the last time I cried now.
Oh, when was the last time you cried?
So there was that clip that everyone freaked out where Pikachu spoke. Like in the animated movie.
I haven't seen that.
So Pokemon, the movie, I Choose You.
Oh my God.
But spoiler alert. You guys ready?
No,
it's because he always wants.
I mean, it was already spoiled for me from watching that clip, but it was the saddest thing in the world. And I mean, it's like experiencing the Pokemon movie again from 1999 or whatever, whenever that aired or was in theaters. But that scene was so
okay. This isn't really spoiler territory at this point, by the way, I don't think, just for the audience's sake. I don't think it's the latest Pokemon movie at this point, is it? Or
I might be. I thought it came out this year.
The Pikachu, it's not Detective Pikachu, where it's he can actually talk. He's Ryan Reynolds at that point. It's just Ash's Pikachu, and it retcons why Pikachu's out, stays out of his Pokeball, which is that he was just annoyed with a Pokeball back in the day, on episode one. And instead, Pikachu just talks, and he's like,
"It's because I always want to be with you."
To Ash.
What?
And that's canon now, by the way. That's that was in the official movie. And the way that he says it, the voice actress says it in the voice tone of Pikachu, it's really weird.
Well, I'm disappointed.
But it was such a depressing scene, dude. Oh my gosh, it was so sad, dude.
If you can ignore the fact that it just took a shotgun to the cannon. I mean, that's a weird sentence. It's shotgun to the cannon. Anyway, you really cried from that?
Not when he spoke. Not from when he said. I'm not naming. You want me to name the spoiler part that made me cry?
Yes, but real quick, let me just say for the next 15 seconds, if you don't want to hear Pokemon movie spoilers, skip ahead.
So basically, I haven't seen the movie. I've only seen this clip, but I want to see the movie now. But basically, all these Pokemon just use their most powerful attacks on Ash saves Pikachu by throwing him in the Pokeball. And then he sacrifices himself. Ash is ghost. His body gets obliterated and his ghost is just there laying on the ground. And Pikachu thought he was just laying there. So he grabs his hat and he tries to put it on Ash's head. And then it just dust, just nothing, you know? And it was and then Pikachu just starts crying. And then I start crying. And I was just so sad.
What kind of movie is this?
It was dark. That was
that's real dark, fast. That's
here, I'll link it to you.
Yeah, just go ahead and put it on Discord, I guess. That seems Ash disintegrates. Yeah.
That's heavy.
I guess his name is Ash. I guess he was always in the cards.
That was foreshadowing from 15, 20 years ago?
That's incredible, actually, if that's true.
The world will turn to Ash.
Isn't that from the Bible?
No, that's from Pokemon 2000.
I think it's also from the Bible.
It says the world will turn to Ash, and Ash says, "Oh no, we're doomed." And then the guy says, "No, no, no, the world will turn to Ash." And he goes, "I'm Ash."
It's a very on the nose prophecy at that point.
Yeah, I don't know how you could misinterpret that.
Yeah, the world will turn to Ash. That's what else could that mean? It's like the world will turn to Lars.
What does it mean?
Yeah, but it's a little bit more ambiguous because Ash is there's not a substance called Lars.
Well, it's the world will turn to Dick.
What does it mean?
What does it mean?
Oh, you were using Richard as an example.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. The world will turn to Dick.
That's a really good writing.
The world will return to Dick.
The world will turn to Dick.
What were we talking about before this massive tangent, by the way?
15 years in the making of a prophecy.
It was just
No, like we were talking about superheroes,
and then you guys got on the tangent of Ninetales beating all the superheroes.
Mm-hmm. It's always a good.
And then it was
well, yeah, because it's like a good tangent,
yeah. Right? And then there was Ninetales versus Mewtwo. Is that the other guy? And then you guys were like, win, and Ohan was like, oh no, he wouldn't. And then you guys were like, oh yeah, he would. And then we started talking about Ohan cried.
Richard, if the world ever like has a nuclear fallout and we need to go into like a dungeon together, I'm gonna trust you because like you seem to like have a good sense of where we've been.
It's so, only just letting for you know. Right now.
Oh,
like
your memory just like fades rapidly.
Yeah, I have a two hour memory.
Oh,
so after this, I'm just not gonna know.
Oh,
you don't remember
like you've been on an episode before.
What?
50 first dates.
I was on an episode. Yeah. I'm joking.
Every day you have to wake up and discover that you're married to somebody and have a kid, and like,
and I'm Guy Pearce.
Oh, I have a question for you guys, by the way, and I think Ohan has died, so I'm not sure he's gonna be able to answer it. Are you there, Ohan?
What made you think I left?
Oh, you just disappeared from the chat, from like the discussion for the last 10 minutes.
You watched the video again.
Oh, he had to like mute his mic because he was sad about the Pikachu scene or something. Or
I watched it again.
He started sobbing. So I have a question for you guys, and anyone can answer it. We can do whatever order we want. What are your guys' favorite movies?
I will go first. May I declare something here?
Okay. The prophecy has foretold he will go first.
Well, I would like to declare, anyone who knows me, it is the Lord of the Rings trilogy are my all-time favorite movies. Those three movies are the only reason I moved to LA to get into film. They're the reason I like the fantasy genre. They are, in my opinion, the best. That's my answer. All three, though, count as one movie.
Just because they were inspirational to you in terms of quality and kind of what
everything.
You wanted to do with your life.
It was like, oh, wow, that's what they can do in movies. I want to do that. And but that was back in 2001, I think, when the first one came out. So I've been, you know, working at it for a while.
Would you rather watch the extended or the theatrical?
Oh, it depends on the mood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I remember I watched the extended. And then, well, I watched the theatrical, obviously, first in theaters, and then later I picked up the extended release, and then I went back and watched the theatrical at one point, and I think it's kind of better.
Yeah.
I think that the extended I think if I was going to watch one movie, it would be the extended, but if I was going to try to, like, marathon the whole thing, that there's a lot that they didn't really need to go into.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I know some fans are really, really all about, like, oh, we should have every single scene from the books in there, and sometimes it's not a good idea. I don't know.
I agree. I think I agree with you completely on that. The theatricals, in my opinion, are a little better in terms of entertainment, but if I do want to get the full, you know, some of the scenes, like, if I want to know that Aragorn is 80-something years old, I'll watch mm-hmm. the extended edition because he mentions it. But I think also, though, at the time of making Lord of the Rings, Peter Jackson was in that place where he still had to kind of answer to somebody. So that made the films
Which
better.
Was a good
they
thing.
Were like, you take this out, you don't do this. And it's such a common thing we see now where people creatives get so much power that no one holds them back. And then we get movies like, you know, the Star Wars prequels, we get The Hobbit, we get the Fantastic Beasts movies, those kind of things where it's just like, here's this creative who no one will question. Everyone will say yes to, and then they make some, you know, less than good stuff. And so, yeah.
For the record, I think that the Star Wars prequels, with a few edits, could probably be fine. Just like some changes.
I think by far the best of the Star Wars prequels is the holiday edition.
Oh, yeah, the Star Wars holiday special.
Oh, yeah, because you guys watched that the other day.
We had to record because
it was so good.
Well, good or quality in any way.
It's Christmas.
Or these are words that I would not use to describe that movie.
Technically, it's a Thanksgiving special. It's
a Thanksgiving special.
That's weird.
There's no way.
No, I've researched
that.
That was what they were going for.
But would you say that it was indeed a movie?
Yeah.
Okay. you'd give it that?
I can't. When I define a movie as like a moving picture of extended length with plot resolution
in VR porn,
conflict and such, I can't say that it is a movie. I know that you were going for something there, like a lawyer, but no, I don't think it really is.
It's not a movie.
It's a combination of scenes for the length of a normal movie. But it's not a movie.
Have you guys seen the Vacation movies? Those are my favorites.
Yeah. Those are good movies. Lampoon, those are really wacky. I don't
see how do you have one free movie? How do you have one favorite movie?
Well, it's when you watch Scott Pilgrim versus the World and it becomes your favorite movie, which
is that your favorite movie?
Absolutely. By far. Every scene is a masterpiece.
I have too many.
Well, what's your top three?
What's your top 27 in order? Go ahead.
Okay, Ready Player One in every Mel Brooks movie. Well, almost every Mel Brooks movie.
Ready Player One, huh?
I loved it. I mean, it's like basic hero's journey, but I thought it was a good movie.
It was good.
I hear controversial things about that movie.
If people are going to compare it to the book, then they're dumb.
I really enjoyed Nebraska Coeds 7.
I don't think
was that
that's
the,
a movie.
One of the early co-ed series?
Yeah. Was that before or after George Lucas gained full creative control?
It was before. It was from the original Nebraska co-ed series.
When the co-eds were good.
With the original cast.
Yeah,
surprisingly good storytelling, honestly.
They start in the living room, and you'll just have to see where they end up. But
well, those Nebraska co-eds, they know how to make a story.
They do. They are good at it.
They're quite animated.
They are. They bounce from here to there.
Good expressions.
They're just always jumping up and down with so much energy. Bouncing and... Ohan, you're not familiar with the Nebraska co-ed series of films?
Yes.
Have you seen Nebraska Coeds 4, A New Hope? It was pretty good.
Yeah.
What about Nebraska Coeds?
Wait, name one character from that movie first. Ohan.
The Cookie Monster and
he got lucky.
Yeah, I feel like you pulled that out of your butt though.
But anyone who's seen any even a sliver of one of the co-ed series knows that Cookie Monster is a big part of all of them.
I really enjoyed Cookie Monster in the Casting Couch series of films.
I feel like the joke went on one beat too long with that last line.
That was the awkward fifth.
No, that was the perfect amount of that joke.
Yeah, let's end that joke, but that's a fine way to go out, I suppose. All right. Ohan, you didn't give an answer.
What?
By the way, Scott Pilgrim is the best movie ever made. Oh, Nebraska Coed 7 or who was that was Joe, never mind.
No, Ready Player One.
That's your favorite movie?
I actually want to ask
it's
you
one
about
of my favorite movies now.
I mean, obviously comparing it to the book, it's not as good. That's
not true.
I enjoyed the book a little more than the movie. That's what
I
I'll
hear
say.
That it's a common opinion that the book was better.
But
it's a book. It's going to be loaded with content and words.
So you're saying it's better? You just described how it was better.
Sure. I think it's way cheaper to write a book than to produce a movie, but that's none of my business, I guess.
I think it's different. I would describe it. It's like people complain.
If they split it off into three movies, you know, with each key being a movie, maybe. I mean, I might have been a little bit more of a better standpoint rather than making everything in one movie.
I think almost every book series, by the way, would benefit from making a mini series instead of a movie. Like the Game of Thrones did a really good job with that, with A Song of Ice and Fire. Like they wisely chose not to try to condense the entire Westeros story into one movie or even three. I think that that's actually the way to go. In most cases
for a lot, yeah, I could see that making sense. Yeah.
Maybe even like someday they could revisit the Hobbits and maybe do like more bite-sized, like just smaller parts of it. I don't know.
I know Amazon is doing a Middle Earth story loosely based off some of Tolkien's stuff, but I heard also that the Tolkien family is not giving out the rights or something, or selling the rights to some of his actual books. So they're just kind of making stuff up.
Well, they can, in the meantime, by the way, they can just like use like off-brand versions of the characters, like
Dildo Daggins.
Yeah, Dildo Daggins.
Yeah, but I think the sites that would have a character named Dildo Daggins would probably wouldn't afford the production costs that it would take to
They probably
make such
the ones that host Nebraska Coeds.
Dildo, we need to go get the ding.
From the studios that brought you Nebraska Coed 7.
From the studios Stories that brought you Earth. Nebraska Coed 7 and Casting Couch 5.
Cookie Monster is Dildo Daggins.
I think someone's doing like a whisper screech in the background there.
The shadows surround you.
Oh, just Chris. Hey, Chris.
Oh, it's just Chris.
Oh,
do you remember Chris?
Maybe.
I love that Ohan way of being surprised that we're talking
just
to him.
Me.
Hey, like, Ohan, you know Chris?
I don't think we've ever asked Ohan anything on any episode of any of the show so far where he hasn't said, "Huh? Wait, oh,
huh?
Yeah,
oh.
Okay."
And that's if he even responds at all. Like,
yeah, and that's like also like even if he's like the only other person other than me and Joe, he's just like,
"Can I admit something?"
No.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I watch YouTube videos or like scroll through articles while you guys are talking.
That's good. That's good to know.
So I'm like, once you guys ask me a question, I'm just like, huh? Oh, it's my turn.
Yeah, I kind of had an idea. It was something like that.
Yeah, by the way, you're not going to get your full paycheck if you keep doing that. Just warning you.
I want a raise.
Ohan's getting a paycheck?
If you want a raise, you actually have to pay attention and you have to start making YouTube videos about the show. And not just using your YouTube videos as content for our show that you just reuse.
I only get like 2 viewers, dude. Like
you get like 100 views a video at least. I mean, you got fans, man.
But only 2% will come over here.
Definitely don't have fans.
You don't really?
At least I don't feel like I do. I mean,
but
like
you got your house fan, let's see. Like in the living room.
Yeah, just go and purchase a bunch of them, yeah. Then you'll have a
you've
dozen.
You got that box fan that you have.
Wasn't Richard gonna ask us a question and then we got sidetracked again?
I'm listening to this fan conversation. It's fascinating. So go on.
If someone tuned in, by the way, to you saying I'm listening to this fan conversation, they would be very misled about what we're talking about.
We're talking about fans.
Fans, yeah. What else could
fans.
We mean?
Very literally.
Box fans, ceiling fans.
Ohan cannot contribute to that because he's not paying attention.
Chinese hand fans.
See,
actually, I do want those Dyson ones.
Dyson fans.
Those Dyson fans look nice.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like $500.
Costco, yeah. They're like $250, probably $300.
That's still the type you look at and you're like, someday Dyson.
Someday, not today.
Not today.
When Ohan says that they're already $500, that just means that he's going to wait 2 or 3 weeks to purchase them, though. Like, his
Hell
impulse control
no.
is
it's
not
winter.
Very high.
No, I don't want those.
They make fans that heat up the room, dude. They're useful.
Winter is definitely... I know they do have heaters in them, too. But those fans are not my priority right now.
They
my
even make fans
is...
where like it air conditions you and heats you at the same time, so it's like pointless. You just buy it because you can.
That's...
Actually, the thing I'm eyeing right now is an Elgato HD 60 right now, so...
What?
I think Chuck Nunn is selling his.
Is he?
I don't know if we should.
Are you yanking my crank right now?
No, check his page.
Is he actually selling a capture card?
Why would you want a capture card?
I believe so.
Why would you not just want to...
Elgato HD 60 sounds familiar.
Why would you not...
What's up, Lars?
Why would you want a capture card in 2018, though? Why not just record your video on OBS for free? I'm confused.
Because consoles.
Because it's... If you pay money
okay,
for
I guess.
Something,
I mean,
then you get
if you want
quality.
To record a console, you need a capture card.
Yeah, but why would you want to record an inferior platform?
Well, that's a whole other topic of conversation.
Okay, yeah, so point made, though.
He is
fine.
Selling an Elgato HD60. That's actually really funny.
You should message him right now. Let's get this deal done.
I already did.
All right.
Did you already buy it?
So now we wait.
Well, actually, it's a HD60S. I only want the HD60.
Oh, jeez.
Damn.
Good job, Chris.
Damn. By the way,
yep.
I got a $100 gift card for my birthday.
Can I have it?
Let me finish my sentence first. And no, it's for Amazon. And, like, I don't know what to buy with it. Like, I have everything I kind of need and want in life. Like, it made me realize how privileged I am, but like, what should I get with that?
A capture card?
Duh, oh, that's so funny.
You should just save it until you need something big, eventually. Like,
I want to spend the money, dude.
Get a Roomba.
No, I want to save it until I can get something big.
Ooh.
Like a Roomba.
Ooh.
Yeah, like a large Roomba.
I would like to live on a Roomba that cleans the city, like a street sweeper. And I would go from house to house and just clean them.
Let's write a miniseries about that.
That sounds like something that would be in Mortal Engines.
Chris, can you write a miniseries on that? Let us know when you finished.
We'll call it Nebraska Coeds 8.
Yeah. Chris, are you familiar with the Nebraska Coed series?
If not, you're about to be. We're going to make a lot of jokes about it for some reason. Richard, go ahead and ask your question. Just go for it. Like, we've been sidetracked for like a year.
We were talking about movies for such a long time, and I know we've talked about the Nebraska Coeds 7, and that kind of ties in. So my question is, have you guys ever like had a book that you've been super excited about seeing a movie of, and then they make the movie, and then you were like, oh, and what was that book? Why did you like the book so much, and what did you not like about the movie?
Okay.
And you can't use Nebraska Coed 7 because we all know the books are way better.
I think the first time that ever happened to me was with Nebraska Coed 7, but besides that, it was the Spy Kids series, and I read the Spy Kids book, and then I saw the Spy Kids movie that came out, and they just left out so many scenes. It was not the same.
There was a Spy Kids book?
Yeah. It was based on a book.
News to me.
Yep.
I did not know that.
This was in fifth grade.
Ohan was like a big fan of those back in the day, I think.
Spy Kids?
Yeah.
Ohan and I, when we first met on the bus to Disney, Ohan would always read the Spy Kids books.
Yeah, they would always meet, you know, by the bus stop late at night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he would read the books, quotation.
He would always be reading the Spy Kids books. And I would say, Ohan, you've got to put down the trash. And he says, these are my stories. These are my friends.
He said he'll take the trash out later, but he wanted to finish his books first.
Then we moved on to Spy Kids 8, and then we moved on to Nebraska Coed 7.
You know, it's funny who the director of Spy Kids is.
Yeah, Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah. It's funny because you see a lot of Robert Rodriguez movies, and he uses a lot of the same actors in Spy Kids, but Spy Kids is a kids movie. But you got, like, Uncle Machete, like...
He's got, a good idea, though. Planet Terror, and he did, like, Desperado, El Mariachi.
Wouldn't that be kind of a good idea for, like, the audience, though? Like, maybe the adults would be like, oh, well, at least I could see these actors that I like and that I'm used to. Like, that was probably a good move on his part.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it was also timed out, because I remember he had just started having his own family at the time, so he was trying to do something more for his kids, which was interesting. He was actually also one of my kind of heroes of film. Like, his book about how he made El Mariachi was really interesting and inspiring because it was so, like, he did it the guerrilla style that, like, didn't spend a lot of money. He made his movie. He put his name out there. It was really interesting read. Highly recommend it.
So it was like a four-man virtual band style kind of thing?
What?
Wait, what did you mean by guerrilla style?
Oh, guerrilla style filmmaking. It's when you don't have permits crew. You just stop and shoot.
Oh, for some reason, I had in my head that the band Gorillaz, when you said like Gorillaz style, I was way off. Okay.
That's his other book, Nebraska Coeds 9.
Oh, boy, callbacks.
Gorillaz Strike Back.
That was well handled, Richard. Okay, I actually do have an answer to your question, and it's going to be a weird one. First of all, are you guys familiar with the character of Spider-Man? You know, the Spider-Man movies?
Like Peter Parker?
Yeah. No, it's like, you remember the...
Murray
the,
Jin.
The Raimi Spider-Mans?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Who am I? Oh, I'm boy. Spider-Man.
I can't hate those movies, but, oh boy, there's so many problems with those. We should devote an entire episode just to discussing them at some point, but okay, so this is going to sound really weird, but I read the novelization of the first Raimi Spider-Man before I saw the movie, and it was way better. I'm not joking.
Sorry.
It was
okay.
I know that sounds weird, but it's true. So in the book, but you know how, you know, the Spider-Man movies were all PG-13, obviously. Like, this was back when R-rated Marvel was not an option.
Yeah.
And, but the thing is, like, the book had that freedom to be R-rated that the movies didn't. Like, actually, they didn't have to do that, but I guess they gave the author some leeway there. And I remember it was, like, the series benefited from it being a little bit darker. Like, it was, like, darker about, like, his Uncle Ben's death and stuff, and there was, like, foul language that felt natural, and, like, the fight scenes were, like, a little bit more gruesome and bloody. And so that's actually my answer. I think that Spider-Man is worse than the book, which is a weird sentence.
Spider-Man the movie is worse than Spider-Man the book based on the movie now in theaters.
Correct. The Spider-Man the novelization.
The novelization.
Of the movie. Of the Raimi movie.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Read the book. It'll back me up. I don't feel like I'm wrong. Don't read the book. I mean, it's pointless, but it was a better movie than the Spider-Man movie.
Read the Spark Notes.
Yeah, I'll just go. I'll get the audiobook.
Get the audiobook of the novelization of the movie.
I hope they reboot X-Men.
The X-Men?
Again?
They just rebooted the X-Men like yesterday already. Like that's what they do, is they just reboot
the
series.
Yeah, but not Fox.
Fox?
Well, since Disney bought out Fox, it's going to get rebooted in the Disney family.
Again. Do you think they will though? Like, or do
I
you
bet
think
they
that
will, yeah,
they have to? There's such a huge Civil War needed a much larger roster than what they had.
Yeah,
they should just they should give. By the way, I think they should give the actress Lennox Knight a chance at that franchise if they do.
As Black Widow.
Yes.
I watched the podcast today. Actually,
you watched it.
Would you agree, Joe?
Yes.
Yeah.
I asked Joe and you responded, but okay.
Thank you for declaring for me, Orung. I agree.
That's actually his name in the Discord now. That was a good guess to get, by the way, Ohan. Thank you for that. Better than you. I think I might invite her on next time for the episodes where you would be there.
Better than me?
Now you listen.
No, better than me.
You think she is?
She probably does.
Better than me at what?
Make a better Black Widow than you.
Yeah, I don't want to see Ohan being Black Widow.
Yeah, let me drop like 60 pounds first.
And become a woman?
Yeah.
And then maybe, but
we're not body shaming you.
Yeah.
So I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, but then I gotta shave my beard.
Do ya?
You don't know. No, you don't have to. You can keep that. You can play it differently, just you gotta become a woman first.
I saw lots of beards in Nebraska coeds.
They're male
seven.
Black widows.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, huh. But those Nebraska coeds, they're a special breed.
That's true.
And it wasn't a beard on the face so much.
No.
Ohan, you should cosplay Black Widow without a head.
Yeah, just cut off your head take the picture.
The male version.
Oh.
Of Black Widow.
I get it. Wah, wah. Like the spider who's dead.
Yeah, I completely missed out on the podcast on Friday. I was actually out.
What was on Friday?
Lennox.
Don't take this the wrong way. Like we weren't planning on inviting you just because it didn't really feel like that was like I didn't know how well you guys knew each other and like she's like
I was just gonna go in there and say hi and leave.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like
I'm glad we didn't invite you. Just kidding.
Yeah, that would have been really awkward. No, it was just fine. Like she's like an actress, and like you guys have cosplay together. But I didn't know if you'd actually even like want to like, I don't know. Never mind.
Hmm.
What?
Let's move on.
Look, I'm not gonna because I understand what you're getting at. Mm-hmm. Like I was on set with her once, and I got to know her like we spent like 16 hours on set together, so we spoke quite a bit actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then added each other on social media, but like I don't know her, you know.
Yeah, I didn't want to be like with Chuck Nunn or with the first podcast where you know them very very closely.
I don't know Chuck.
Now you do, since you were there.
Like I literally like he says we say hi to each other and that's about it.
That's
like,
cute.
That's cute.
Who is Chuck Nunn?
Who is Chuck Nunn, by the way?
I don't know.
That's the question that's on everyone's mind.
Yeah, is that's actually Chuck just his branding.
Chuck Nunn.
The world turns to Chuck Nunn. Mm-hmm.
The world. None of your business.
None of your business. That would be a cool like explanation that he should use. Like, who? It's for Chuck. It stands for none of your business.
Who is Chuck Nunya?
Well, that sounds awkward.
Nunya.
Leave it to Joe to ruin the podcast.
Yeah, we were going for like a 10-minute silence there, Joe.
You know what?
I'm going to put in a 10-minute silence. No, I'm just kidding. We're all just like trying to process his... No.
Somebody better ask me when the last time I cried was, because it's happening now.
Oh, hey, I don't think Richard has ever had a chance to ask that.
I think he has.
When was the last time you cried, Joe?
Now.
Oh, that's unfortunate. What caused that's you to cry good. Right now?
Lars.
Oh, Lars.
Yes?
You guys should work this out.
Yeah.
Work what out.
You can't be. You're host and Joe host. You can't be making each other cry.
You're host and Joe host?
Yeah, I'm the that's Joe host.
That's his little nickname. He's the Joe host yeah. of the podcast.
Yeah, that wasn't him just being weird. That's actually his name on Discord right
yeah,
now for some reason.
You're completely O-wrong mm-hmm. about this.
As always.
Classic O-wrong.
You guys aren't going to... You know, after like the 7th, though, you guys aren't going to hear from me for like at least 4 days.
Oh no, how will we
oh,
ever survive
no.
a 4 day break from Ohan?
4 days without Ohan.
I mean, I'm on this show like every day. I don't know like
yeah.
why you guys
By
are
yourself.
Like, kind of skeptical.
That's actually part
I'm
of
I'm not
some
trying to be a dick.
Podcast.
I'm just saying like it's okay if you'd like take a 4 day break from our podcast.
I just
like,
pictured
we,
Ohan
we
like
we appreciate what you contribute
to the
show. I
just pictured Ohan
show, but...
congregating with a different Discord channel like with a similar yeah. name to the first podcast like they're like,
yeah, like
the first
he's on the second podcast and he just doesn't
and
want
he
us to
that
know
it's us because they have similar names.
I love how you did the and you know Chuck Nunn when you introduced me in that episode I said well I mean, what do you want?
Oh my.
I like how you like move that to like the very beginning of the episode.
I'm sorry, it wasn't to make fun of you. It was because
it
was
funny.
That was
no,
the
no,
funniest.
No, I loved it. Yeah. It was funny. Yeah. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
I'm a funny guy, you know. No.
Well, until
the joke was at your expense, but yeah.
I'm so funny, guys.
Sure.
That's why I'm on the show, right?
So, are there any future video topics that
awkward.
You want to? Well, no, we were going to continue, then you just made it awkward.
Oh, okay.
Are there any future video topics that you want to discuss, by the way?
Yeah, my rise to power and getting rid of Joe.
Okay, I'm all ears for this one. I'm gonna buckle up. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean like for this episode? I think I meant for future episodes.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I got to plan this out.
No, just go ahead.
I'll take it from here if you don't mind.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Yes.
Allow me to declare something. See.
Oh, please do.
Ohan mm-hmm. clearly, you know, shows up on time. When his family's in town, he says, "Hey, family, I'm not gonna have
Preach.
Dinner with you. I don't care about you.
Preach.
I got a podcast." So Preach. By that logic alone makes Ohan obviously the superior podcaster.
Dedication.
But on the other hand, Joe's name is a little more, you know. It's not Ohan. It's just Joe. It's like, you know, hey, what are you doing? I'm going to go hang out with Joe tonight. Like, uh-huh. So it's a little more
generic.
So I think what the real solution here is you guys need to like fuse like Super Saiyan and just
yes.
be
yes.
Johan.
Yes. I like where that went.
So
yes, I was just thinking that.
So it's Lars and Joe host Johan.
Or Lars and Joe.
I think it's.
So how would you guys connect at that point?
Johan.
You touch fingers?
Oh, I was oh, after I was doing a dance. Something else entirely, but
she
that was me, that was more like a Nebraska co-eds, but well, I'll
haven't seen it.
That yeah.
When me and Joe used to
Johan.
When me and Joe used to hang out, getting
you don't want
getting
to do
drunk
more.
Off of a Four Locos in the back of a pickup truck.
Together,
we used to
just
talk
two
about,
guys getting drunk together.
Yeah,
in the
we would
back
just talk about all kinds of things,
philosophy, astral projection, yeah. A lot of philosophy, actually.
Gluten,
a lot of Nebraska co-eds talk,
a lot of Putin, according to Chris.
Oh, so that's not a joke. Gluten. Like we were drinking and talking in the back of a pickup truck.
Is that what they're calling it these days? Okay, continue.
Yeah, I want to hear more about this pickup truck.
Oh, it's nothing was special. It, like, it was a 96 Tacoma.
And it had room. You guys could just sit in the back and drink and talk.
It's a pickup truck.
Is that seriously the end of the story?
Is this in Nebraska?
No, was there an end to the story, though? Like, or was,
no,
were you
I'm just saying
up...
we can have a philosophical like topic for like future...
Joe doesn't like philosophy anymore.
No, I do.
No. Like, I tried to talk him into doing some more episodes on philosophy, and he's like, no.
Well, what happened was I said, yes, let's do an episode on philosophy, and then Lars just wanted to do that whole episode on philosophy, and I was like, I'm not brushed up. Like, he basically wanted
he
the
didn't bring
brush,
his brush
up against
he
what?
Didn't bring the brush to his episode.
Yeah, I didn't bring my brush.
He didn't have time to comb his hair. Yeah, so. No.
Lars, you got to brush up on philosophy. You can't be... Yep. You can't just go into it cold.
Yeah, I didn't have enough time to comb my hair.
You can't just raw dog a philosophy talk.
Right. There has to. You have to ease
well,
your
you
way
can.
In.
It's just not very fun.
Work on
yeah.
the toes, work on the nipples, come back in 5 minutes.
We're basically plotting Nebraska Coeds 9 at this point. Yeah.
What a bunch of degenerates.
Yep. Yep. That's actually, like, that reminds me of the description. The hashtag general chat on here is, the description of it is, Rapscallions congregate, this is what ensues. And I think that's kind of accurate.
Thanks for joining us on the Degenerates podcast. This is Joe. I'm going to be your co-host. And this is Ohan, the other. And with us, we have Dick.
By the way, an hour and a half in, do you guys want to introduce the show?
And then we'll immediately play the outro music.
Thanks for joining us on another exciting episode of the first podcast. My name is Lars, and I'm here, as always, with... Game Master Ohan.
Hello.
And Game Apprentice Richard Quiner.
Yeah, I'm just downgraded because Ohan.
Yeah, I thought you guys were going to duke it out, but...
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Richard was just so nice about it, so... Maybe... No,
man can serve two
you
want to
fight? Roll that d20.
I don't have one with me.
You always got to have one with
wait,
you.
Well, wait. They're on the other side of the room. Wait, you guys, we're missing that. Something. What about the Joe host?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not introduced. Here yet. I'm at dinner right now.
Oh, crap. I totally lost the plot of this scene. Can we rewind and take it from the top?
Actually, the plot was fine, and Joe just made a joke about how he's not here yet, which is just a lie. Also, Chris is joining us. He showed up randomly and just like...
How's it going?
I think Joe's tired. I think we should let him go. Anyway, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Yay.
Ooh. Wait. So.
Yes?
No, I had a thought and then I completely lost it. Sorry.
Oh, you pulled a Joe.
I Joe'd it.
No, you're Joeing this place up.
Sorry.
There's not enough
you're
room
Joeing
for
this
two
place
Joes.
Up.
Yeah, what gives? Why are you Joeing this place up? We already have one Joe. We don't need another.
One's already too many.
I don't know what happened. You're just rubbing off on me, Joe.
That's what she said.
Ah, jeez.
Which normally that's like a second date activity.
Ah, jeez, yeah. Dick.
You just say, ah, jeez, Dick.
Ah, jeez, Dick. I don't know about this, Dick.
By the way, petition to get Justin Roiland on the podcast at some point.
Well, we need a petition? Have to ask him. We don't have to.
No, I'm just like, that's just like a way of saying like we should attempt to do that, Joe.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, through the normal channels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris, I'll sign that petition.
List. Thank you.
You got two signatures.
Ah, jeez, Dick.
That's pretty good.
It sounds like you're saying cheese.
Ah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
you know, the cool thing, if you got Justin Roiland on the show, you could actually do it with Rick and Morty, because he's very good at doing both at the same time.
it's almost as if he's the same voice actor for both of them.
Yeah, almost.
He is?